Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What one athlete opting out would completely rain on your parade? For that sport, for the season, you wouldn't feel the same about that sport returning. Maybe you'd still watch. I'm not saying you would completely tune it out. But it just wouldn't be nearly as interesting, and you would definitely be disappointed. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico already saves you. So what are you waiting for, peeps? Visit geico.com to learn more. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter and Facebook, a lot of your answers coming in, and I love that we have a variety from all over the country and north of the border as well, as from a bunch of different sports. So we'll get back to those. I know I read some from Twitter. I'll get to the ones on Facebook. If you want me to use your name, you have to give me your name if it's not actually part of your Twitter or Facebook handle. Sometimes I tend to skip those ones that that only have a weird handle or something that means something to you but would sound weird if I read it on the radio. Let's talk to Rob, who's in Connecticut. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. Happy Monday. Love the show.
Thank you.
What I'd like to do is give you, from the four major sports, each of my teams real quickly. First with the Red Sox, it doesn't matter because they're toast anyway. They lost all their pitching, so I don't expect much from them anyway. So
there isn't a guy that opting out would matter to you?
No, not really, because okay. Like I said, they lost Porcello, Price, sales on the shelf, so I don't think they're going to do much of anything anyway. As far as the Bruins, I would say they could weather pretty much any storm except for maybe Tuukka Rask. I'd hate to see him opt out. I'm a Rams fan. That would either with Jared Goff or Aaron Donald, they would be huge losses if they opted out. And last but not least, I'm a Laker fan, and either LeBron or AD, probably more LeBron than anything. If either of them opted out, that would really put a damper on my spirits.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about that. LeBron could single-handedly be the driving force behind getting the NBA back in session.
Right, and I mean, they already lost Avery Bradley, but they signed J.R. Smith, and hopefully LeBron could keep him focused because he could definitely be an asset because J.R. could definitely score, if he's got his head in the game, so. But that's my contribution.
All right. Yeah, Aaron Donald sitting out would be a big loss. Now, I think the NFL can absorb it a little more only because fans are more used to it with devastating injuries, but also because the rosters are so much bigger. But, yeah, it wouldn't be the same. And Donald's the one who was talking about how without fans it would just be odd, and he can't even imagine playing a game without fans. Now, I think, too, when it comes to the NFL with the high risk of injuries and the fact that it is a collision sport, it's a really violent sport, these guys are so used to living with a very real possibility that the next snap could be a season-ending or career-ending injury. Now, they don't play with any trepidation or fear, which I appreciate, but I've had NFL guys, or former players and guys from inside the league say, I mean, we're used to playing with this kind of risk. So maybe it we won't see as many NFL players decide not to play.
Whitworth would be a huge loss, too, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Left tackle, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so hopefully this virus will subside a little bit and we'll be able to get these sports seasons done with now. I mean, I'm a little skeptical, but, you know.
Well, it doesn't matter as much about the greater population, unless, of course, the states would start shutting down and then tell the teams, the franchises, they can't operate in that state. But the whole point of a bubble is that you create your own atmosphere and you're not beholden to what's happening in the, you know, the greater population. And so the NBA is obviously in that situation, the NHL with two hub cities. You also have golf and NASCAR moving from city to city. And so far, so good. I mean, they've had guys who've had to opt out, but they haven't had any type of an outbreak, which I think is huge. The NWSL is now going through the early stages of its season. You know, you've got WNBA that they're going to return as well. And so, I mean, I think the more sports and teams that continue to remain active, I think the better it is and the more confidence in the testing protocols.
It's interesting. You know, I live here in Connecticut and I go to a lot of Yale games, and actually the Ivy League is strong. I guess they're going to actually vote by July 8th whether they might play in the spring, which I'm not opposed to because I think it would be fun, you know, to go and tailgate in the spring, you know, and nice weather and, you know.
I don't know.
We'll
sometimes the spring
that.
In Connecticut is sub freezing temps.
Exactly, but it's
All right.
And then the other thing, just one last thing, is it would be a shame because the Rams, you know, have that big, beautiful $5 billion stadium now. They're ready to open. That'd be a shame if they can't play a season in there. You know.
Definitely. I mean, that's the case. Same thing with Vegas. I mean, they've got some new stadiums they want to showcase. Vegas, of course, was supposed to have the draft and didn't. And so, yeah, there are a lot of victims over the course of 2020. I mean, we talk about seniors in college and high school and losing their final sports opportunities, their proms, their graduations. So, yeah, it's a virus that takes no prisoners for sure. Rob, thanks so much for your phone call. I appreciate it.
Amy, thank you. Great show.
Thank you. 855-212-4227. Let's run through some of your answers on our Facebook page. And I love that producer Chris pulled a photo of Alex Ovechkin as the sample for this particular question. What one athlete opting out would change how you feel about the sport returning or your team returning would really dampen your enthusiasm. Jeffrey says, Big Ben, we need this man. You saw what happened last year to Steeler Nation. Please don't sit out Big Benny. I bet he doesn't answer to that. Elsa says mine would be Justin Verlander. Now, Verlander was hurt. It was a lat strain, if I'm not mistaken. And he's actually benefiting from the time away so that he can pitch and come back with the team. I mean, there are a bunch of athletes who were injured, whether we're talking baseball, basketball, the NHL. I mean, there are guys who are really benefiting from having the extra time off, even if it wasn't planned and they don't want it. Randall on Facebook, Anthony Rizzo. Let's see. Rodney says, DeGrominator, nobody in the league that I like to watch pitch more than Jake. Yeah, that would stink if there was no DeGrominator. Let's see. Another post in favor of Anthony Rizzo. He's the undisputed leader of the Cubs, and it would have been a damper on any chance they had. Peter on Facebook, Luka Doncic. Yeah, that would stink. He says Luka is the most exciting young athlete in sports. Oh, Lamar Jackson's pretty exciting. Patrick Mahomes is pretty exciting. Michael says Ja Morant. Well, he just says Morant, but I'm going to assume he's talking about Ja, who is, of course, the potential NBA Rookie of the Year for the Memphis Grizzlies. Doug on Facebook, mine would be Max Scherzer. Mark is jumping onto the Giannis parade. He says the soon-to-be two-time MVP. So those of you who are Bucks fans or NBA fans may have heard that both the Bucks and the Kings shut down their practice facilities on Sunday. And this was after they got the latest round of testing for the virus. Don't know any particular numbers. Don't know what happened. If it was one test, more than one test. But neither Milwaukee nor Sacramento plans to reopen those facilities before the teams depart for Orlando. And so they're just going to close them. And they've been open for a while now, depending on where you are, even longer. But they're just going to close their facilities now for workouts, and guys are just going to reconvene when it's time to travel to Orlando. And I think Milwaukee goes later in the week. Sacramento may go on Wednesday. And there are a bunch of different NBA teams who shut down facilities for workouts in the past week. And of course, here's the major issue, is that any player who contracts the virus has to quarantine and then test negative twice. That seems to be the standard right now. Test negative twice before being allowed to make the trip to Orlando. And so it behooves these teams, if they have a positive test, to shut everything down now, not hold workouts. Let's just say, just for the sake of supreme caution, they shut the facilities down now, guys can quarantine, and then potentially be cleared twice before that team plane leaves for Orlando. Because if you're not with the team, then you've got to go through a whole nother round of protocol. So it just makes sense, even if there's only one test. You don't know if there were other guys that contracted it from that particular player or staff member. So you might as well just shut it all down and try to get everybody clean heading to Orlando. 855-212-4227, also on Facebook and then Twitter, After Hours CBS. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Jay is listening in Ontario. Welcome to After Hours.
Hello. I just wanted to say if Tom Brady couldn't play, I would really be disappointed.
Yeah, I would too, actually. After all this fanfare and hype, not to mention the workouts he's been holding on the sly, well, not so sly, with his new Tampa Bay teammates. That would really stink if he couldn't play or chose not to play. I think, knowing what you know of Tom Brady, knowing what we know of Alex Ovechkin, the fact that Brady is very close to the end of his career, and the fact that he's been out there practicing with his teammates, even though it may run amok of the rules, I don't think there's any chance that Brady would shut it down. He and his wife are both extremely healthy. Their kids are not super high risk anyway. But I think it would take the NFL shutting down for Tom Brady not to play.
Thank you for your time, ma'am.
Thanks, Jay. Good to talk to you. 855-212-4227. Jordan is listening in Texas. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, thanks for taking my call. You know, first of all, I wanted to say I love your show. I, not to talk bad about your colleagues, but I don't know how idiots like.
No. I'm not getting in trouble. You can send that in a tweet. Absolutely, you're not putting that on my show.
Okay. I don't know how they still have you on this time slot.
Because I choose to. Here, I'll answer the question. Jordan. How about I answer the question for you? I choose to stay in this time slot. My boss has given me multiple opportunities to change, and I have chosen to stay here. So it has nothing to do with the network or anybody else. It's my choice.
Fair enough. I meant that only as a compliment to you, not to drag anybody else into it. But anyhow, the way things are looking nowadays, we're having 45 or 50,000 new coronavirus cases every day. And, you know, in places where I live, like where I live in rural East Texas, I see the vast majority of people that live here that kind of don't believe that this is a real thing. They won't wear masks. They won't, take appropriate precautions. They kind of think it's a big conspiracy. And places like Texas and Florida and Arizona, things are getting way worse. And until there's a vaccine or some sort of treatment that is essentially 100% effective, I don't see how we're going to have sports with fans in the stands until we have a vaccine. You know, it seems like the NFL and MLB specifically are kind of operating under this sort of assumption that they're going to somehow be able to play games home games in their own cities with fans in the stands. And it's kind of a depressing thing because, like, I've watched some Premier League, for example, with no fans, and it's just bizarre. It's better than no sports, but it's just bizarre. And I just feel like we're potentially going to have maybe a year and a half or 2 years of sports with no fans. And
well, I'm sorry, Jordan. That sounds very depressing. I cannot barely even think about next week. Forget 2 years down the road. I mean, come on. I don't even know how many people thought that we would see sports return this year with no fans. And so it's impossible to know what's going to happen 2 years down the road. Also, this is the United States of America. You can't force people to use a vaccine. Viruses are not curable, not normally. And so it's a fluid situation. As for no fans at all, I mean, NASCAR successfully has had fans at a couple of different events, big super speedways where they spread people out. It's doable. It's not optimal, but it is doable. So we'll see what happens. In terms of the virus numbers going up, I think it's really important to point out that the stats are showing the death rates are not going up. And also in the state of Florida, I saw this graph. It's, oh my gosh, it was insane. On Sunday, that shows that the vast majority of new cases right now are people in their 20s and 30s. And so, I mean, there's a lot of people who are asymptomatic. Again, most importantly, the death rates are not going up. I think at least that's most important to me. And so I'm hoping that with all of these different testing protocols, something that sports can pay for, I mean, it's costing a lot of money, but they have the potential to be able to create these bubbles where the majority of Americans, you know, they'd have to create their own bubble in their home. But I still think that the money they can throw behind this is that, they're able to try to keep the virus on the outside, which is something, you know, it's unique. We don't have many of those places around the United States. So the money that sports throws at the problem is definitely helpful and may make a major difference, you know, over the course of however many months.
Yes, and as a major, huge Dallas Mavericks fan, I can't tell you how excited I am for the NBA to come back. It's just my enthusiasm maybe is a little bit dampened because the whole thing has just been such a slog and a little bit depressing.
Over the last, for sure, months. Which is why I can't start thinking about 2 years down the road. I would never get out of bed. I can't be doing that. So I go one day at a time, one show at a time. Oh, one nasty mess at my new house to clean at a time.
Absolutely. I've got three kids at home, too, so I've got
enough. Oh, there you go. Okay, cool. All right, Jordan,
thank
good
you
to talk to you.
My call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks so much. Yeah, I can't think that far ahead. I can't even think about the next month, for heaven's sakes. My boss has been asking me to pick some days to take time off because I normally go to Cuba for a week and that's not happening. And so I'm trying to pick days off and I can barely think past the month of July. Though, just for fun, I did look at a couple of Airbnb possibilities for next spring because there was no vacation this year. There won't be a vacation this year. And I really, really missed going to the beach and spending a week just hanging out with the pup. Well, she's not so much a pup anymore, but yeah. So I did spend a couple of minutes allowing myself to think about next spring and vacation. But for the most part, I'm trying to live in the moment because it is depressing. If you get too far ahead of yourself, I think when we don't, I don't know about everyone, but I would think that the majority of human beings, when we don't have any answers, when we don't have concrete numbers or concrete pictures of what life will look like, we tend to think the worst. We tend to assume the worst. And I can't. I've had to stop myself from doing that over and over throughout the last 4 months. Even so much as what happens if I'm still working from home at Christmas time? I mean, what happens if football starts and I'm still at home? I mean, it just is, yeah, there's so many things that we worry about. And I will say for me, the majority of things I worry about never actually happen. I waste so much time and energy worrying about crap that never actually materializes. And I don't want to do that here. It's hard enough to be hopeful right now. Okay, you can find me on Twitter, ALOL Radio, also on our Facebook page. What one athlete opting out would change everything for you? You'd be really disappointed. Christopher on Twitter says, Saquon, oh my gosh, have you seen his workout videos? The man is a machine. His abs, holy cow. Matt says DJ LeMahieu on Twitter. So the one athlete that you would desperately miss if he or she chose not to play in 2020.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
On the Phillies Radio Network. Remember when Bryce Harper said he wanted to bring a championship to D.C.? Those were the days when that's all we cared about, making fun of Bryce Harper. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. That's Scott Fransky, the Phillies Radio Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. What one athlete opting out would be so disappointing for you? Now, I know it's not all about us. This is a very personal decision, one that athletes have to make carefully because there is some risk involved. Of course, for Blake Snell, as long as he's getting paid, the risk is mitigated, you know. But it's a very personal decision. So if they opt out, we need to understand. The leagues are understanding. The teams themselves are understanding. And there shouldn't be any backlash. But it would still be disappointing for some of our favorite athletes to decide they aren't going to participate in 2020. So which athlete would be that guy or that girl, that guy or that male or that female for you?
All right.
855-212-4227. Are you trying to tell me it would be Aaron Judge for you, Dave? I would be disappointed if Aaron Judge didn't participate, although it feels like Aaron Judge hasn't participated due to injuries for most of the last 2 years.
Well, that's mostly what it is. I would love to see him just healthy and see what he can actually do for a full season.
Do you think that gigantic body of his could actually withstand 60 games? 60, a whole 60.
Well, 60, I would hope so.
You know, I'm going to go back and look. I'm going to go back and look at the number of games he's played in each of the last 2 years. This might be right in his wheelhouse, actually.
Yeah, I think just that one where he had the near MVP season was the only full season he ever played. Outside of that, he's just, he's enormous. And those big guys don't.
He's enormous.
They don't normally, you know, fare well when it comes to injuries. So yeah,
do we get that same thing for Cam Newton? Isn't he also enormous?
Yeah, and he's starting to become an injury-prone-ish sort of guy, maybe.
All right, here we go. Last year, only 102 games. The year before, 112. So he should be able to stay healthy, unless he trips over something in the on-deck circle. He should be able to stay healthy for 60 games. I feel like that's right in his wheelhouse.
I think he could do it.
Yeah, we're with you, Aaron Judge. Richard is listening in Connecticut. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
I say Mike Trout because he would be doing it for a very good reason. His wife is having a baby, mm-hmm. and he wants to be there. And I remember when he received the MVP this year, I saw it in Major League Baseball, he had four family members all around him. I think he's a good family man. Mm-hmm. Plus, he's a great athlete, and I look for athletes with good form, and Mike Trout has great form.
So,
and if you don't mind, I'd just like to say one other thing. I was telling your producer, between approximately 2003 and 2013, I used to listen to this late-night show on ESPN, and there was a man before you, and then you came on. I thought it might have been your mother or a relative, and he told me, "You're the same person." That's amazing.
Oh, you mean the person that you used to listen to on a different network? You thought it was related to me, but not the same person.
I thought it was related to you and not you, but he told me it was you.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Because the way I've only picked this up in the last 6 weeks or so, I thought you were so young, just getting out of college. You had to be at least over 21 when you started in 2003, I presume.
Well, so here's the thing, Richard. Even if, I appreciate that, but no one gets to the national level without a lot of experience, especially not females. And so you could just assume that I've put in a lot of time and a lot of years. And yes, I did jump from that network. I was there for almost 8 years. And that was where my current boss found me and recruited me for CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, you're very good. I remember that.
I appreciate that. Very old. No, I'm just kidding.
And I couldn't believe it was the same person. You're very good.
So do I sound better now? older?
I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah.
When you were back in 2003 or so, you were more serious. Today, this time around, you're very lighthearted.
Yeah, well,
which I think is good.
I blame my previous bosses. One of them told me not to laugh while I was on the air because it would take away from my credibility. They were not I was the only female who was there for the whole time. The only female host who was there the whole time I was there. And they wanted me to be more like the guys. So it wasn't a great fit. Even if CBS Sports Radio hadn't have come calling when it did, I was getting ready to leave there. I just didn't fit the formula anymore. So I'm very thankful for my bosses here who encourage me to be me. They don't want me to be like anyone else. They don't want me to be like the men. They want me to be Amy, which is, I mean, it's an amazing confidence builder.
I'm glad I said that because that's the first thing I said to you about. I said to myself about you, in 2003, you were more serious.
Interesting.
Now you're more lighthearted.
Yeah, I mean, I just am me, really. I appreciate that. That's a great compliment. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Richard, listening in Connecticut, has found me again. That's good. I like to hear that. I generally just call it my previous network. but, a true story. I had a boss when I worked there tell me, he called me into his office and said, I need you to not laugh so much on the air. Now, you know me. I laugh a lot because... why not? If I don't laugh, I'll cry. And why not? I mean, if things are funny, I laugh. Now, I will say this. Sometimes I laugh at inappropriate times. I'll just be completely honest. When I get nervous, I laugh too, which is not always a good thing. But I'm not generally nervous on the radio. So anyway, he said to me, you should not laugh. I'm wondering if he had this conversation with the male host as well. But he said, it takes away from your credibility. Which... at the time, I had no choice but to listen to him because he was my boss. But that's not true. And even if it is true, I couldn't care less. If you question my credibility, then you're not doing your homework. And so I am much happier here. It was great for me when I was there. I'm grateful that the network, and actually one of the people I work with now through Westwood One is the guy that hired me there. And then he left not long after I started. It gave me an opportunity to practice. I had a lot of reps over 8 years. I worked every different time slot, every different show, every different sport. I was a studio host for games. I did podcasts. I mean, I did everything over there. I was the utility infielder, so to speak. And so it helped me to practice. And I wouldn't be the host I am now without going through that. But it was also a difficult time in my career, too, because I knew for sure I wasn't able to be myself. But I had to grow into that, and I had to find a boss who supported me. And I very often say to my boss that he's the best boss I've ever had. And I know loyalty is not supposed to be a thing in sports or in sports radio, but I'm very loyal to him because he took a chance on me and just wanted me to be me. So thank you, Richard. That's awesome. Okay, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. What one athlete opting out would really rain on your sports parade in 2020? As if it hasn't already been challenging enough. It's totally a delayed gratification, isn't it?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We love that story from Terry Francona, Indians manager. Goes back to when the first dance was wildly popular. Gosh, that feels like a long time ago too, doesn't it? But it did debut in, what was it, late April? And went into May, those 5 weeks and 2 episodes per week. And it was awesome to have that to look forward to. And it was all the rage in the United States for those 5 weeks. And there were stories upon stories upon stories about Michael Jordan everywhere, including from the baseball world. And I still have my notes, actually. I have them with me right here about The Last Dance. I've never taken notes on a documentary before, but I took, gosh, I would say a dozen or so. Full 5x7 note cards worth of notes on The Last Dance. Anyway, Terry Francona tells that story on MLB Network Radio when he was coaching the whole Birmingham Barons chapter of Jordan's career. And there was a pop-up that Jordan hit, and he didn't run out the pop-up. And everybody looked at Tito Francona and just wondered what he was going to do. And so he relates that quick conversation he had with hey, big fella. Could you imagine calling Michael Jordan big fella? Hey, big fella. As you're looking straight up at him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We had a caller earlier ask. Well, he didn't really ask. He said he believes this is the wrong time for Terry Francona to be talking about the nickname that the Cleveland baseball team has, Indians. Of course, they've gotten rid of Chief Wahoo as their logo and on a lot of their merchandise. I mean, still out there because he was their logo for a long time. So many people already have the merchandise and have the memorabilia, but they had gotten away from using Chief Wahoo. And now, think in the wake of the Redskins and Daniel Snyder doing an internal review of the Redskins changing their name and what that would entail. And it certainly does sound like a lot in the NFL community, the football community, expect it to happen. If that's going to happen, then you wouldn't think that the Indians would be far behind. Now, again, this is something that's come up in the past, similar to the Redskins, and they made the move with Chief Wahoo, and now they're kind of thinking about potentially changing the name of the team altogether. Side note, the Atlanta Braves say they will not consider changing their name, at least not in 2020. But Terry Francona was asked about it. I don't know that he wants to be talking about it, but he was asked about it as the Indians started summer camp.
I know in the past when I've been asked about whether it's our name or the Chief Wahoo, I think I would usually answer and say, I know that we're never trying to be disrespectful. And I still feel that way. But I don't think that's a good enough answer today. I think it's time to move forward.
It's interesting to think about the climate that we're in and to think about how these issues and potential changes have come up in the past. It's not as though no one's ever said anything about the Cleveland Indians or the Washington Redskins or the Atlanta Braves. There are other names in sports that play off of the Native American. And so certainly the climate that we're in plays a role. And I've said this on the show in the past, and I will say it again. Just because you aren't offended doesn't mean there aren't other people who are offended. And if you're not in that people group that is Native American, well, then you don't really have a say. It has nothing to do with you. You're a fan, and you can get adjusted to a new name. If you're not Native American, I kind of feel like you need to zip it. And that's how I feel about me. No, the name Redskins doesn't offend me. No, the name Indians doesn't offend me. But I'm not a Native American, so I don't really get to have an opinion about this. If it's offending large groups of people, if it's hurting people, if it's causing them pain, well, then there's no reason not to change it. And I had said this just like three shows ago about the Redskins when someone called me. All it takes is enough public pressure and these names will get changed. And that's kind of the atmosphere and the climate that we're in right now. So I don't feel any one way or another about it. I'm not attached to a name, although I will just tell you that I can never remember when stadiums change their names. It takes me forever. And then I can never remember when franchises change their names. Dave and I just talked about this last week. I couldn't remember if it was the Hornets or the Bobcats in Charlotte because they've changed their name like five times. And so then they had to borrow their name from New Orleans. Anyway, I keep wanting to call them the San Diego Chargers. So there will be people who will, you know, who will hate it, but will eventually get used to it because we do. I mean, that's just whatever, we adapt. And it's in the grand scheme of life for a sports fan to be upset that their team is changing names. It's just, it's not something that I choose to spend a whole lot of my energy on. I don't feel like I'm qualified to have an opinion other than if people are hurt by it or offended by it or it's causing pain, then why not change it? To the rest of us, it's just a sports team and we will adjust. Let's say they change the name tomorrow, which is probably not feasible. If they change the name tomorrow, in 30 years, who's even going to remember? I mean, there'll be some people that do, but it will get used to it because that's what we do. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Please,
people, the San Diego Chargers.
Exactly. People change their names all the time. What's the big deal? Anyway, my entire brother's family changed their last names. They just up and changed it. I'm not going to tell you what it was or what it is, because that would not be a smart move on my part. But they,
Los Angeles Chargers.
It's not that. My sister-in-law didn't like how well, it doesn't really matter why. They all changed their name. So I had to get adjusted to my own family having a different last name. So anyway, it's just something else that as sports fans will get used to. I don't think there needs to be any outrage or uproar over it, especially if you're not Native American. Why do you have a say? Why do I have a say? I'm not in the people group that would be offended. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I wonder if Carlos Correa's wife was offended when he told her she couldn't go to the salon. I love this. When I talk to my wife, she knows. This is what Correa said. You know how passionate he is about stuff. Oh my gosh, it probably turned into a really long story, like the story about why they couldn't pull Jose Altuve's jersey off. So he says, when I talk to my wife, she knows. No getting your nails done, no getting your hair done right now. So we're going to be home. We're going to focus on the baseball season. And once everything is done, then you can go get your nails done and do everything else. I don't think that's what she signed up for when she married him in December. What a way to go through your newlywed phase. Your hubby tells you you can't go get your hair done. Now, I lasted for almost 4 months. Oh, actually, I'm trying to think the last time I had a haircut was late January. And so I just got mine done on Thursday, and I'm supremely grateful that is not as heavy as it was. I wouldn't say I'm much happier, but I am happier when I look in the mirror. Also, funny story, Dave. So, Dave, just for kicks and giggles, what is the average human temperature when you are healthy? This is something we learned when we're in kindergarten.
98.6 degrees.
Right. So I went to the salon. First time I got my temperature checked anywhere. I mean, I just haven't been anywhere. And so the lady checks my temperature with this thing she scans on your forehead. Have you had that done before?
I have.
I thought they were going to, you know, those ones you put your finger in and it clamps down on your finger. Those are the ones at the doctor's office. But anyway, so she scans my forehead before I even know what's happening, right? And I see her write down on a piece of paper, but at the time the paper's kind of tilted away from me. And so I can't see the number she writes down. And so I said to her, what was it? And she's like, oh, it was a little high. She said, but it's understandable because you were outside in your car. I was. They made me wait outside for 5 minutes. And it was like 95 degrees because they were cleaning the chair that I was going to be sitting in. So she said, don't worry. We've been told that if you're sitting outside or you're outside, your temperature can be a little higher briefly. So at that point, as she says that to me, she kind of turns toward me and her paper is tilted toward me. Do you know what it says on the paper?
Less than 98.6.
No, it said exactly 98.6. This woman should not be taking temperature if she doesn't know what the average temperature is. She wrote down 98.6. Exactly. I mean, why? Maybe somebody else needs to take temperature. Did she skip health class? It's something you can Google.
I would have asked her, what do you think the normal temperature is supposed to be if this is high?
I didn't want to. I just wanted to get my hair done. But I did think it was hysterical that she... that she was like, it's a little high. I don't know. Does that mean she's like kicking people out who come in with, say, because it's supposed to be like a degree. Either way, you're supposed to be fine. So what if someone comes in with, say, a 99.3 and she freaks out because she thinks it's 2 or 3 degrees too high?
Just send this lady back to a math or science class.
Seriously.
Either one. She could use both.
Or how about health class?
That too.
Or just have someone take her temperature and show her, like, this is the average, ma'am. So yeah,
I think it's 100.4 technically is like the
it's the cutoff.
I think that's what it is.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
I'm generally lower. So the fact that it was 98.6, I mean, whatever. I just thought it was funny. She was like, oh, don't worry. It's a little high, but it's okay. All right. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Been talking about this idea of no fans in the stands. Justin Turner has a thought when they pump in crowd noise.
Speaking to the crowd noise, it's way better than having nothing in the stadium and, you know, just silence. So I enjoyed it. It gave me a little bit of adrenaline just having that noise, that random cheers.
Random cheers. Woo! I would like to sign up to be on one of those cheering tracks. You know, they used to do laugh tracks. They would get them from studio audiences and they would pump them in, those old comedies. I would like to sign up to be a fan on the cheering track. He was like, random cheering noise. What one athlete opting out would really put a damper on your enthusiasm about the upcoming season? Russell Wilson. That's a good one. An answer on Twitter from Dave. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.